existence of the world and all its sinful pleasures, while simultaneously enjoying the peace and assurance that comes from saving the relationship with the Heavenly Father. I will say, you two walk together except for the agreement. But the sad truth is that commitment of professing Christians around the world are searching for a way to strike comfortable compromise between their convictions and the wicked world in which we live. Now, we all struggle with this. We all have this insidious yet gradual influence of compromise and conformity in our own world. We are under relentless pressure to perform with right. The devil is always offering to negotiate our values and our principles. He rarely uses an all-out frontal assault, but rather by virtue of internal corrosion where, little by little, we are pressured to compromise our beliefs and small things. Compromising with the devil is deadly to the spirit and always fails in bringing any lasting satisfaction. The Lord clearly told us, you cannot play the middle. He that is not with you is against you. That's the whole thing. And the Chinese say, you cannot cross the river with your feet in different boats. In reality, it's impossible to truly compromise with the devil, because any attempt to compromise with Satan will ultimately become total situation. Only by constant dependence on God and personal vigilance can we hack off the tentacles of this monster. We have both good and bad compromise. And compromise itself is not bad. You do that right here. You just tie out, turn aside and set, and you leave like a man in the water. Now you can like a man in the water. So we compromise. We put it at 72, 71, somewhere around there. So compromise does help. But in reality, it is impossible to truly compromise with the devil, because any attempt to compromise with Satan will ultimately become total capitulation. When Christians begin to compromise elements of truth, sacrificing biblical moral principles for the sake of achieving peace, it can be eternally fatal. In the words of Martin Luther, peace is possible, truth at all costs. Satan's primary goal for believers is to, little by little, bust down our resolve, getting us to concede an inch here and an inch there, until before we realize it, our convictions have been displaced by his efforts and the proverbial pride that we walk away. We cannot, at this time, go into each of these topics. Greater Christian standards that have been sacrificed on the altar of compromise to gain acceptance with the world. I could talk about the dangerous inroads of worldly music, contemporary worship styles, unchecked materialism and their subsequent death, the Babylonian diet and health practices, absurd and suggestive dress and adorning, and the blizzard of popular entertainment that is spiritually numbing the minds of professed believers. Even take on the most dangerous of all conformity, the watered-down genetic theology which believers are never called to deny self and pick up their crosses. Each one of these compromises have neutralized peace in the hearts of believers, diluted the potency of the gospel, and strangled faith. Also, time restrictions, there's no way to unpack all of these issues. So instead, I will direct your attention to the broader principles that lead to compromise and conformity, and how we can resist the temptation to fall in line with the devil. It's driven by a baseball cap. One size fits all. And it does, for most folks. Put it on. But we have discovered that most Christians want a theology that will comfortably accommodate the sins in their life. But a fallen man's sinful life is not a one-size-fits-all relationship with God. It is God to perform his will gospel supposed to transform our lives? It does not. Paul gives us the answer. Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. We should not be conformed to what? Transformed. We can't compromise on sin. The story of Joseph is a great example. As you know, he was sold into slavery. He was favored by Potiphar. Everything he did blessed Potiphar's house. He had everything that he wanted. Everything he could not have was Potiphar's wife. Unfortunately, Potiphar's wife wanted him. But, as we read the story, Joseph did not give in to her pressure day after day after day. He whispered in his ear, "Come lie with me." And he even said, "How can I do this and sin against my house?" He refused. And he also stayed away from the temptation. Now, how many of you have been around jet engines? You know that when the engines start up, they're really powerful engines. And there have been a few curious but careless workers lingering near the mouth of one of these large engines and have been literally vacuumed off the asphalt and vaporized. Just like on an aircraft carrier, we had two people riding with him. One of them was down to our workstation, the door was right in the end of it. There was a plane that he was up with, and the medics and the officers. It is true that if you compromise near forbidden boundaries, the deadly vortex of sin will suck you in like one of those dead engines. When you are being tempted by someone or something to compromise your convictions, steer as far away as you can from the edge of the evil. Don't let sin whittle down the resolve. Eve, wandering too close to the forbidden tree and then waited to hear Satan's rationalizations, she should have took off. She should have ran. Going back to Adam, the Word of God commands us to flee from temptation. sacrifice for them. The Jews knew these neighboring nations commingled with their worship of the true God, but the Syrian came in. How did Israel respond? He said, "You have nothing to do with us to build a house unto our God. We ourselves together will build unto the Lord." They made a direct choice, refusing to let the unconverted king influence to define any way how they build the Lord's holy temple. And you will notice that the people of the land, the ones who just said will help you, are turning against it. Suddenly, the peace offering neighbors show their true colors and became aggressive enemies. And that's the important point. If you stand up to what's right and do not get involved in hostile alliances, you will be persecuted. First, devils will approach you and say, "Let's work together. Let's all love each other. Compromise a little on your convictions. They'll compromise a little on ours. And then we'll be united. After all, unity is so important." If you don't fall for that trap and take a stand for truth, they will become your worst enemy. It really tells you where their hearts were in this place. What's the message? Fear of offending. Have you heard about the pastor who did not want to offend a wealthy congregation? He said, "Dear brethren, unless you consider repenting in a measure and be a bit converted, as it were, you will possibly, I regret to say, be damned to some extent." He was afraid to offend. In reality, a great percentage of compromise and conformity worms its way into our lives in the church. Nobody wants to offend anybody. We are trained from our earliest years to be polite and considerate, but to also comply with people's requests and do nothing that might upset somebody. What does the Word of God say? Jesus said that it is not possible to preach the gospel without causing some of it. The word, and somebody gets offended with it. Interesting story about John Wesley. He was apparently riding along the road one day when it dawned on him that in the past 3 days he had not suffered the slightest persecution. Not a single brick, egg, or verbal insult had been thrown at him for 3 entire days. Alarmed, he stopped the cross and exclaimed, "Can it be that I have sinned in my baptism?" Slipping off his horse, Wesley went down on his knees and began pleading with God to show him where, if any, there had been a fault he committed. At that exact moment, a rough fellow on the other side of the hedge, hearing the prayer, looked across and recognized the unconventional concept. "I'll fix that pastor," he said, picking up the brick, tossing it over the hedge. Although the brick missed its mark and fell harmlessly beside Wesley, the thrilled creature leapt to his feet joyfully, exclaiming, "Thank God, all is well. I still have his presence." The apostles were all slain or imprisoned for their faith as their message becomes true. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution for eternity. One reason we do not see more severe persecution of Christians in North America today is because we have compromised so much servant commanded thee. Turn not to it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Don't need to worry what you've been forgiven. You have been forgiven. You confess your sin. He is faithful and just to forgive your sins. In God's name. Close the mind to compromise. When it comes to compromising the Word of God, don't have an open mind. You're going to be called a conservative extremist for not accepting the standards of the world. But don't be intimidated when you are accused of being closed-minded. It is good to be closed-minded to the commandments of God. The devil is setting up the church in the last days by preaching a message of unity through compromise, little by little, and softening up your reserve, encouraging you to make little concessions in compassion or compromise, so that when that big test comes, back in Daniel chapter 3, how the three worthies refused to compromise. That's what we need to do. We need to study. The children of Israel reached the borders of the Red Sea, and the Egyptian masters were riding hard on their heels to capture and re-enslave them. The situation was great. But Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. That's what the Once we know that something is right according to God's word, our responsibility is to take our stand. God will do great things for those who stand up to him. He's looking for representatives.